Blog Talk Radio.
What good is music? What good is melody if it ain't possessing something sweet? It ain't the music, it ain't the melody. There's something else that makes that tune complete. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing, all you gotta do is sing. I do what, 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 do what. Makes no difference if it's sweet or hard. You just give that rhythm everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. You just get that rhythm, everything you've got. Well, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. I do what, 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 do what. I do what, 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 do what. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
Hi, you boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party, a radio show. And we're getting underway. And I got to tell you something. If you really want to know how to fight communism, you got to get my book. Everything that any talk show host who's anti-communist will tell you, it's already in my book. It's a beautiful primer for guys with a high school education. It's not sophisticated, it's not deep, it just hits the nail on the head in 13 chapters. Chapter 1 is drugs suck, it's the biggest problem in America. Chapter 2, I forgot already. Chapter 2 is terrorism, I think. I know chapter 4 is save the kids. You heard, I don't know if you've been listening to any of the reports about the Muslims are having 8 kids and Europeans are having 1 1/8. I don't know how you can have 1 1/8 kid. But if you're going to fight terrorism, you got to have babies. One of the things that frosts my cookies is that we're sending a lot of crap to Washington. We're getting conned into voting for guys who double-cross us. And the sad part about it is once you find out they're no good and you vote them out of office next term, they're entitled to a pension. Can you do that? Can you turn in a crap performance for 4 years on the job and get a pension? No way in hell can you do that. But these turds can. And Lindsey Graham, I have never seen... so much shame coming out of South Carolina as the likes of Lindsey Graham. He is the Chuck Schumer of the South. He is absolutely ridiculous. You know what his biggest complaint is? His biggest complaint is the American troops that are fighting and dying in Afghanistan. And by the way, more Americans have died in Afghanistan under Obama than under 8 years of Bush. Bush's record death count, which the media shoved into your face every day through the New York Slimes and the Boston Globe and the Los Angeles Slimes, was 461 dead Americans in 8 years. Obama is over 600, and you haven't seen one name in the paper. You see, you've been sucked in again. You've been had. And speaking of being had, the Jewish population who voted for a Democrat down in Florida should hang their head in shame. The Democrats have betrayed Israel, and it won't be long before they're pointing out who's Jewish in Florida, putting them on trains and taking their suitcases away. You allowed yourself to be sucked in by Wexler. Wexler, who wasn't even in Florida to represent the Floridians. He was up in Maryland putting out the garbage for his mommy. Wexler. All right? It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. Israel has been betrayed by Obama. And if you're Jewish and you're pro-Israel, you better wake the hell up. You better wake up quickly. Okay? And there's nobody going to fight Iran but Israel. If you think the United States is going to fight them, forget about it. They're going to let the Iranians have all the nukes they want. And 10 minutes later, the Saudis are going to want the same number of nukes. So there's a hot tamale race on in the Middle East. And Israel is going to pay a terrible price. And those who are voting Democrat are signing Israel's death warrant. Never forget, the Democrats vote party over country, no matter the issue. If the imam in the White House calls for death to Israel, they will all vote death to Israel. And you don't believe that? You wait and learn. You know what? You're going to learn too late. You better get into the Old Testament and start reading some of the Psalms and some of the warnings about who to trust and who not to trust. We're in trouble. And if Israel falls, you know who's next. And if you think that they were giving out candy when the towers came down and dancing on rooftops in Brooklyn and in Newark and New Jersey, okay, in the Islamic State of Michigan, you wait and see what happens when Israel falls. They'll be giving out eclairs on the toll booths and bridges. And it's a religious war. It's not ideology. It's a religious war. And Israel, when Ahmadinejad says we will wipe Israel off the map, he's also going to wipe Palestine off the map because the Palestinians will be collateral damage. But he doesn't care. He just wants to get rid of all the Jews, and he doesn't care how many Arabs die along with them. That's collateral damage that he can live with. You get a map out of Israel and see the size and how tiny it is. You know that the overkill is going to take out the Palestine also. But Ahmadinejad doesn't care. He's in Iran. And the first thing that should happen if a nuke goes off in Israel is the State Department, the CIA, the entire intelligence community should all be put up against the wall and shot because they didn't know Shiite from Shinola, and they still don't. They have been predicting no nukes for 10 years. Now they're telling you no nukes for 10 minutes. They cover their tukus with press releases, and depending on which way the wind is blowing, that's the message you get for the day. These people are all failures. They're incompetent. There's too many of the wrong people in the jobs that are vital to the security in the nation. It's time to fire them all. And you could start with the Attorney General. And you could start with the FBI Director. And get rid of the two Islamic sympathizers. And Lindsey Graham's biggest complaint today, after he tried to prosecute the privates for fighting back, who he wanted justice for some poor private that was sent there to kill bad Muslims. He wanted to make sure that they got tried in The Hague. Old Linseed. Linseed will sell you out tomorrow. He's probably building a wooden horse in his basement. And he won't be able to get it out when he's finished. Yeah, Linseed Graham. He's now upset that the Americans are not bringing prisoners back. They're killing them where they find them. And you want to know something, guys? You got to read the Iwo Jima poem. A two in the head, make sure they're dead. And that's it. Do not bring anybody back from the battlefield. They didn't They didn't go to the battlefield to capture you. They went to the battlefield to kill you. Respond in kind and give them all express checkout. Wait till they find out that the only virgins in paradise are Jewish men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bartender, champagne, play an American tune. Hey, you know what? I just passed. There's a big trailer there bringing up furniture from North Carolina. And they find an empty lot and they set up couches and chairs and recliners and dining room tables. And they're just out there selling. And the lettering on the truck is all American. And it says, made in North Carolina by real Americans. If you want to win a war, after an attack, you have to counterattack. So after they went after Christianity and the Pope, it's time to counterattack.
My soul is thirsty for you, oh boy, thirsting for you, my God. My soul is thirsting for you, oh Lord, thirsting for you, my God. Thirsting for you, my God. Through the day you walk with me, all the night your love surrounds me. To the glory of your name, I lift my hands, I sing your praise. My soul is thirsting for you, oh Lord, thirsting for you, my God. My soul is thirsting for you, oh Lord, thirsting for you, my God. Thirsting for you, my God.
Go and pray this weekend. Go meditate. Go sit in an empty church. Go sit in an empty synagogue, if they'll open the doors and let you in. But you should get to to a religious dwelling, and share some time with God. In other news today, the guy that's Larry King is divorcing his either his seventh or eighth wife. I feel bad for the women. They're like harem girls. And the only thing that keeps them coming back is the money. But what's bad is that a guy like Larry King sets an example and he creates competition. Now Geraldo Rivera's last wife, she's got to start sweating out who's coming to dinner. It's terrible. It's terrible. I think it's Larry King 8 and Geraldo 5. I'm gonna have a new show called "Divorcing with the Stars." We'll do a little dance number, and as the ex bridegroom throws the ex bride out, another one comes in, spins her out, and spins a new one in. So you know what? Larry the Eighth has beaten Henry the Eighth. What? Henry only had 6 wives. Larry the Eighth. Yeah, he should dress in 15th century costume. Or 13th century, whatever it was. Unbelievable. Well, at least he's not beheading them. But let's see, with the 8 wives, that makes, he's got 2 complete Muslim marriages. He could be a Muslim twice. 4 wives is the limit. But they can divorce. Muslims can divorce. It's very easy. The man only has to say, "I divorced thee 3 times." So that must work out good. Then you can rotate. You can keep 3 regulars and rotate the 4th one. They used to say that one of the emirs of Kuwait used to have a plane sitting at the end of the runway. And he would fly in his brides for the weekend. He would marry them and divorce them on Monday. Well, it was better than going shopping. The girls got the gifts. You know, at least they got gifts. Here we go. Somebody sent me this blog, and I'm going to share it with you. And it is called, the subject is Lieutenant Colonel Lackin to face a court-martial. Apparently, there's a lieutenant, a colonel, and he has refused to obey orders from the president because he challenges the president's citizenship, and they've told him that he can't do that, and he's under arrest. Isn't that great? Huh? You ask a question like, you know, are you a citizen? You're under arrest. You can't ask the president that. He's exercising his right as a citizen. The CIC, that's the commander-in-chief, must show his papers. Even dogs have papers. Sir, prove you are an American. Can we get it under the Freedom of Information Act? When the pro-life Foundling Fathers said you have to be a natural-born American, they foresaw this day, and they protected us 250 years ago, but the communists are rewriting the Constitution. First they rewrote history, and now they're rewriting the Constitution. And I heard a woman call into Rush Limbaugh today, and she said her son called from school, sounded like a high school, and he said, guess what, Ma? The teachers stood up and said, the old people are making trouble in this country, and they should all be eliminated. How's that? How's that? And you think I'm joking when I talk about trains and leave your suitcases on the station because you're going to camp? Yeah. I often joke and say that that's why everybody's in Florida. They're going to just cordon it off and gas everybody over 65, and they'll call it saving Social Security. So when only the communists would object to proof of delivery in the USA. This is not racist. This is show me yours and I'll show you mine. If he is Kenyan by birth, as Kenya claims, he can apply for citizenship like everybody else. America is tired of being swindled by the caliphs in the crooked house and the lying Senate. No more terms for termites. It is time to take the fuzz off the peach. A lying president needs a Georgia impeachment. No American citizen should be denied to see Obama's certificate of origin. And then I have my own proof of Obama's certificate of origin. And I entitle it, here's the copy of the proof that O'Reilly saw. See, O'Reilly gave him the good housekeeping seal of approval, and he claims he has seen the birth certificate. So I made up one that I think what it would look like, because we haven't seen it yet. And when they talk about I'm a Bertha, yes, I'm Big Bertha. And you know who Big Bertha was? It was the largest artillery gun in World War I, and it was made by the Germans. Who, by the way, were working on the A-bomb, and if they had it first, they were dropping it on New York. And they had a plan. The plane could not fly back to Germany because it didn't have enough gas. They were going to ditch the plane in the sea and be picked up by submarine. Aren't you glad we got the A-bomb first? Imagine if the Russians had gotten it first. Imagine what Berlin would look like if the Russians had the A-bomb. Imagine what Hungary and Poland would look like if the Russians got the A-bomb first. So here's a copy of the proof that O'Reilly saw, and it's got a nice embroidered document, and it says Certificate of Life Birth, and it's certificate of Life Birth. To whom it may concern, Barracks Hussein Obama was born here in Hut 27A. The original birth certificate was trampled in an elephant stampede. Therefore, D-E-R-E-F-O-R-E, HIDS records, HIDS, including his high school diploma, are stored in the Pribilof Islands. They are sealed. And his college records are buried in the Kremlin wall, and then it says, here is the official seal, and it's a picture of a seal. And it's signed by Bwana Makuba, Chancellor, Minister of the Exchequer. And then there's a small headline today. A Muslim terrorist who was involved in the blowing up of the New York City subway attempt gets 6 months and an Eric Holder hickey. His mosque is protected by Mullah Muller of the FIB. Yet Lieutenant Behenna gets 15 years for fighting back on the battlefield. Lindsey Graham, the Chuck Schumer of South Carolina, says Americans aren't taking prisoners anymore. That's not fair to the lawyers. I say let the law leeches take their own prisoners. If you meet them boys on the battlefield, they came to kill you. They didn't come to take you prisoner. Dispatch them to paradise, express checkout. Like the words of the Iwo Jima poem, two in the head, make sure he's dead. One nation under God, not under guard or house arrest. Bartender, champagne, play something American. Other news today, Henry Waxman called off his witch hunt on the big corporations. who are taking write-offs in anticipation of a costly health care program. And Henry wanted to punish them by making them bring all their emails for his perusal. But he abruptly canceled the purge because he's got bigger fish to fry. He will announce on Friday that the Senate will be indicting Lenny Dykstra for stealing second base. And don't forget, we're teaching Afghan farmers how to grow corn.
I've got to pay six to her. I send a judge. Suppose I fail. The judge says, Ray, son, right on in the jail. You better keep her. I think it's cheaper. You know what I've been doing, though.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party a book and the Spirit of America Party radio show .com. My subject my epistle for tonight, we always have to sprinkle a little religion in there to offset the atheists who despise God and country. My subject tonight is taxes and whether we're going to have a fat tax or a VAT tax or both. If taxes were dope, the government of the to the people would be tax junkies with a national Jones. Arnold Schwarzenegger can't pay his bills, not even using Mexican slave labor. He is waiting for the people of Nebraska to pick up his free lunch tab, while farmers die of controlled thirst. He sits on capped oil wells that could put him in the black gold category, but he wants to go green by taking 49 other states green. This guy won't even drill for candle wax. Wait until California has alternate the side of the street electric razor shaving days. Meanwhile, back at the communist ranch, a novice with no diplomatic survival skills is going earball to earball with the KGB colonel who can slip a plutonium-25 into a cup of tea in London from Moscow. I pray this fool, trying to please his communist constituents, does not give the entire nation away. Please let us keep the hole in the ground, formerly known as Liberty Plaza. It seems like only yesterday we were shouting, USA, USA. I didn't hear anyone shout, give it away. Although Chuck Schumer must have been, Chuck is good too. You know, when you type in Schumer in spell check, it comes up schema. Maybe we should call him Chuck Schema. Because he's always shucking and jiving. Although Chuck Schumer must have been thinking about it when he voted to burn the flag and kill kids, saying child murder is settled law. Instead of killing kids in chop shops and shopping centers, or now known as chopping centers, how about we set up abortion camps outside of town, discreetly, only accessible by railroad car, and then we can all deny knowing about the greater Holocaust. We will be blame-free. God won't see what we do. Did you ever think we would destroy the inheritance left to us by the greatest generation in 50 short years? Did you ever think we would have a government hooking your kids on dope just for tax revenue? Did you ever think you would see local immigrants hanging themselves in closets? Did you ever think we would have a dog claiming American pedigree with no papers? Did you ever think we would see an American president bow before every king but Christ the King? Even Hugo El Stinko Chavez blesses himself before he betrays his people. I hope this Vichy president does not sign an agreement to destroy our hard-earned nukes by shipping them to Russia for dismantling. While we're on the subject of soft jihad, and the communists tell you to get over 3,546 dead civilians, 4,500 dead GIs from Iraq, and 1,061 from Afghanistan, surpassing Bush's count of 461. In 1 year, this guy has killed more Americans than Bush did in 8 years, if you want to blame a president for murdering the troops. And you know what Patton says, any general that loses a battle is a murderer. Yeah, so while we were on the subject of soft jihad and the communists tell you to get over 3,546 dead civilians, 4,500 dead GIs from Iraq, and 1,061 from Afghanistan, all killed by Muslims. Dial M for Muslim. Sorry, no communist whiteout on this blog yet. The loser of the free world beats Chamberlain's record for giving away countries and double-crossing his allies. Even Fox attacks Hamid Karzai. The latest charge tonight is he's a dope addict. Welcome to the club. Yeah. President Clinton does blow with his friends. You know that. He told that to David Letterman on the anniversary of 9/11 when they were all having laughs. How's that for a joke? Even Fox attacks Hamid Karzai as if Obama was Kennedy and Honest Hamid was President Diem. In 1 month, the media, under Politburo instructions, turned on Karzai, calling him a crook. Compared to who? Charlie Rangel? Dick Turbin? Jackson the Freezer King with the cold cash? Dashiell and Prancer? And Barney Not-So-Frank? And Christopher Dudd? No wonder we drove Karzai into Taliban arms. They say he's in league with the drug lords. Which ones are they? The ones in Kabul or Marion Barry? Want to stop drugs? Take Junior's allowance away and leave the Afghans, Mexicans, and Colombians alone. Classify the entire House and Senate unfit for duty and get rid of them all. My friends, you don't have a choice. You have no choice for Congress or the Senate in November. Your only choice is to get rid of them all. Better to put a janitor in. Like there's nothing wrong with janitors. It's, you know what I mean? The janitor would probably run the country better. He'd be more practical. Yeah, so classify the entire House and Senate unfit for duty. Get rid of them all and then see how quick the phone gets answered when you call. The only lobby in D.C. should be in a hotel, and there should only be one term per termite. Maybe it is time we had a wartime president with military experience, one who wins, one who salutes the flag, one who can take an oath and keep it, swearing on the Bible, not on the yellow pages. This usurper is running two-minute take-down-the-nation drills. They were all prepackaged in communist Harvard with a Notre Dame blessing. The next time a bleeding heart communist, I'll make a correction here. There's no such thing as a bleeding heart communist because they have no hearts, they have no souls. So we'll call it a bleeding liver. It tells you that 9/11 was a tragedy, but remind him that the Al-Qaeda Muslim goal was 100,000 dead Americans since 1993 in New York. And never forget the Latin words, Bella Premunt Hostilia, our enemies close in from every side. And the party that hurts us the most are all partying in the House and the Senate. Wait till they find out a laptop is not only a dance. We're going to be just like Europe, overrun and many balcony flags. A bartender, can you play a nation once again? www.spiritofamericapartyradioshow.com. One nation under God, not under guard or house arrest. And don't think that couldn't happen here. They're already putting brave Americans in jail for fighting Al-Qaeda. If you don't believe me, ask Lieutenant Behenna and ask the rest of the boys, Colonel Cesani, Pantano, Lieutenant Pantano. These guys had too much Americanism in them. They had to be communized. Here's a short one. I'm sure you've seen the picture that was circulated by the communist press of Elian Gonzalez in his communist military uniform with bigger shoulder boards than Admiral Lemon. And he's holding a Cuban flag. And so I asked the question. I took his picture and I put it on a blog. And I asked the question, is this really Elian Gonzalez as part of party propaganda? To look well fed, does this alleged imposter get an extra banana ration? Then underneath that, I have a picture of a Elian Gonzalez lookalike, and he's wearing a San Francisco baseball uniform, and he's pitching. And I asked the question underneath, or is this the real Elian Gonzalez? We believe After the deal with Castrol was made by the Un-American Party of Death, the Clintonistas, Ilion was sold by the DNC during Holy Saturday and kidnapped, then denied asylum and was dragged from a Catholic church by the media Gestapo using the anti-Catholic code words bingo, bingo, bingo. The child was drugged and sentenced to be shanghaied back to communism, while the ambushes and the Clintons washed their hands in the Pontius Pilate finger bowl, blessed by Geraldo Rivera and a lipstick-wearing pseudo-nun named Janet Reno. But we believe his sacred mother besieged God to intervene, and the boy was smuggled back into Freedom Land by way of Mexico during a border-crossing procession in honor of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And I have a picture of the procession coming across the border. Do that, 100,000 come across, and as soon as the last one's over, they scatter, and some hide out in the Alamo. Ilion, and I have, they have a procession, and everybody's dressed in native dress, and they have a big tapestry of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and I say, Ilion is behind the tapestry in plain view. Once the word got out of his ascension into God's country, the Democrats were forced to cancel their cocaine orders, medical checkups, and the love boat at the Havana. Long life to you, Ilion, and may God's light shine upon you. Never trust a Democrat or a re-puppy who say they care. Hi, you boys and girls. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book at .com. It is reported tonight that President Obama bin Laden has signed 5 executive orders. That's 4 more than most presidents have done in their first few days in office. Okay, but that's neither here nor there. But 3 of them are related to the protection of terrorists at the expense of the American people. So I'm going to give you a deja vu, a rendezvous, and I'm going to tell you that everything goes back to the Clintons, who are now in power again. Obama is not in power. He's not his own man. The Clintons are calling all the shots, and all the Clinton termites are calling all the shots. And I'm going to talk to you about a guy who's forgotten. He's one of the first victims of terrorism on the Clinton watch, and his name is Louis Pepe. He was a 300-pound federal prison guard in New York City. Okay? And today, he feels his way around an empty room because he's blind. Not only is he blind, but he's subject to seizures. His life is not worth living. He has to reinforce hope every day. Okay, he was the victim of a double-teamed attack while he was escorting two terrorists who were responsible for the World Trade Center bombing that Clinton ignored. Okay, and these two terrorists were living a cozy life in a New York City jail, and they didn't even have inspections in their prison cell, and they didn't toss their bunks because they had rights, just like the Gitmo murderers are going to have rights over your rights. Your right to live and survive. So Louis Pepe was escorting two, not one, but two terrorists back to their cells. And one of them sprayed his face with hot sauce and blinded him. And the other one took a comb that he bought in the commissary and sharpened it down to a dagger and stabbed him in the eye 3 inches into his brain. Okay? And when the FBI came to see the video, because there's videos in all of the prison walks, there was no video. How's that? No video. One guard with two criminals. One unarmed guard with two criminals. So Louis Pepe got no justice. But the sad part about it is, when Louis Pepe went to court to listen to the sentencing of the terrorist that stabbed his life away, the judge said that it wasn't an act of terror. I think her name is Brenda Batts, and her middle name is Ding. And when Pepe protested, she had him removed from the courtroom. I'm surprised she didn't try and stab him in the other eye. So I'm going to read you some excerpts on the reporting that took place at the time that this happened. So hang in there a second. If you Google Louis Pepe, you'll get Louis Pepe, the actor, for pages and pages. But Louis Pepe, the victim, the all-around American good guy, you'll be hard to find him. Soon he will disappear as the communists rewrite history. Louis will be gone from Google Earth. Prison guard claims government is sanitizing his brutalization. This is from a left-wing article, okay? Louis Pepe was a federal prison guard at MCC Manhattan in 2000, the year 2000, when he was brutally attacked, stabbed in the eye, and more by two of the defendants in the case involving the 1998 bombings of the U.S. embassies in Africa. One of the attackers, Mamdou Mahmoud Salim, was reported to be an associate of Osama bin Laden, who Clinton never got. But he went around asking, when is Bush going to get bin Laden for 8 years? Salim gets a sentence Monday, and Pepe plans to be there. He is outraged that Salim will only get 17 to 21 years for the assault. That's murder to me. You take a man's eye, what is the saying, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? You take a man's eye, you take his life. Even though he is facing trial and a possible life sentence on conspiracy charges for the 1998 attack. We can't say we blame him. If you read the account of the attack, it sounds horrific. But what's up with Pepe's claim that the U.S. government has downplayed the attack and cast him in a role that suggests he was careless in allowing the attack to happen? This is one sad story, and here's some of it. In an interview Sunday with the Associated Press, who does not love America, Pepe sat in his wheelchair in a small room in a Queens house where he lives with his parents. Pepe and the government and Salem have combined to sanitize what Pepe said the government and Salem have combined to sanitize what happened on the 1st of November. The guy gets stabbed in the eye on All Saints Day. Portraying the assault as quick and almost entirely Salim's doing after the guard failed to handcuff the inmates. Pepe said he will tell the judge how he properly handcuffed the inmates before they slipped free, blinded him with hot sauce, beat him repeatedly, and even tried to rape him before stabbing him to get his keys in a bid to free other suspected terrorists. Both of them did it, not just one, Pepe said excitedly, his right eye wide open and a piece of gauze resting in the socket where his left eye used to be. Pepe said the attack lasted an hour rather than 20 minutes that prison authorities maintain it took for help to arrive from less isolated parts of Manhattan's Metropolitan Correctional Center. Pepe described how he resisted throughout the attack, even giving his inmates his house keys when they demanded his prison keys. He said the inmates scrawled the sign of the cross in his blood on his chest before they left him for dead. In the end, Pepe walked out of the cell block, the sharpened comb still stuck in his eye. He said someday that he had warned the government before the attack not to let the terrorism inmates bunk together or be issued sturdy plastic combs and condiments such as hot sauce and honey. For more than 2 years, Pepe was hospitalized. He suffered a stroke that left him partially paralyzed. You don't even know this guy. You don't even know this act of terror took place downtown New York City. When they demanded his prison keys. For more than 2 years, he was hospitalized, he suffered a stroke, and he left him partially paralyzed, along with pneumonia, a collapsed lung, seizures, infections, a blood clot, and high fevers. He underwent brain surgery and spent 3 weeks in a coma. He still lives in a modest home where he once took care of his ailing parents, who now take care of him, despite their ages of 79 and 80. "We want his name cleared," says Pepe's father, Frank Pepe, emphasizing the family's discontent with the government's level of support for his son. "We want the house fixed. I'm not going to live forever. I want him set up so he's comfortable." Pepe sleeps on a small donated bed and maneuvers his wheelchair across worn floors. Almost no one visits him. Pepe said his pain from the collapsed left side of his head to the stroke-damaged legs is chronic. "Every day it hurts so much that it feels like I'm going to be dead." And we hope that the truth comes out. How's that? Okay, that's one article. Hang in there, I'll give you somebody else's article. This I found on Federal Jack. Panel rules a jail stabbing constituted terrorism. New York Times, a reputed former leader of Al-Qaeda, who was serving 32 years in prison for stabbing a jail guard in 2000, must be resentenced. A federal appeals panel in Manhattan ruled on Tuesday because a judge wrongly concluded that the man's crime did not meet the legal standard for terrorism. Federal prosecutors who argued that the attack met the standard for terrorism, and this is what's going to go on here in the new, all over the country when these Al-Qaeda boys leave Gitmo. You know what? They're going to all come back to haunt us. Whether they come back in Afghanistan and kill more Americans or Iraq or in Djibouti or in New York City and in Texas, they're coming. And federal prosecutors, they have a life's work. It's their life's work to kill Americans. They want to put the cross in blood on your chest. Federal prosecutors who argued that the attack met the standard for terrorism had sought a life sentence for the defendant, Mamdou Mahmoud Salem. Officials have described him as a founder of Al-Qaeda and a former top aide to Osama bin Laden. He pleaded guilty to stabbing the guard, Louis Pepe, in 2002. The prosecutor said the stabbing was part of a fruitless plan to take hostages and escape from the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Lower Manhattan, downtown New York, and nobody knew what was going on. And nobody knew on September 10, 2001, there was anything going on. Mr. Pepe, who was stabbed in the eye, was left with severe brain damage. At the time of the stabbing, Mr. Salem was awaiting trial in a terrorist conspiracy case stemming from the 98 bombings of two American embassies, which Clinton ignored. I still remember the people in Kenya and Tanzania. I've seen 500 blacks sitting in blood. They were just passers-by, in which 224 people were killed. He later testified that he had become frustrated with his lawyers and stabbed Mr. Pepe so he could take his keys, unlock a visitor's room, and attack his lawyers so they would withdraw from his case. In sending the case back for a new sentence, a three-judge panel of the United States Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit held unanimously that the attack included the required elements to be considered a crime in the furtherance of terrorism under the sentencing guidelines at the time. Judge John Walker Jr. wrote the decision, which was joined by Judges John O. Newman and Sonia Sotomayor. Eileen L. Trotter, Mr. Pepe's sister, said after being told of the ruling, "This is definitely our early Christmas gift." She said that her brother continues to improve with the assistance of physical therapy and treatments. And Richard B. Lind, who represents Mr. Salem in the assault case, said he planned to ask Judge Deborah A. Batts to impose the same 32-year sentence on his client rather than a harsher one. So Deborah Batts is the bastard that sold out America, and she's a judge. And how did she get to be a judge? Who wasn't paying attention? And here's the story that took place at the hearing. As attacker is sentenced, a victim vents disgust and is ejected. Now remember, Deborah Batts is sitting on the bench. Batty Batts. A former Manhattan jail guard who was stabbed in the eye with a sharpened comb by a top aide to Osama bin Laden in 2000 was ejected from his attacker's sentencing hearing yesterday. And let me tell you something, guys. If you're out there on the battlefield, we don't need prisoners. We do not need to make a citizen's arrest. We need to win the war, and the way you win the war is you kill the enemy. And they came on the battlefield to kill you. Make sure that they leave the same way that you don't leave, the way they want you to leave. You make sure you take care of number one, and you finish him off on the battlefield. After he repeatedly shouted at the defendant and the judge. So Pepe got upset at the hearing. Dozens of his fellow correction officers walked out in protest from the hearing, at which the defendant was sentenced to 32 years in prison. "You are no good. Do you understand me?" the guard Louis Pepe yelled at Mamdou Mahmoud Salem. The defendant, "Why don't you kill me? I am dead." The judge, Deborah Batts of Federal District Court, ejected Mr. Pepe after he had been warned several times about outbursts that occurred outside the formal time allotted for his comments. As United States Marshals escorted him out of the courtroom in his own country, Mr. Pepe's voice, I put that in there, Mr. Pepe's voice echoed in the marble hall of the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. At the time of the attack at the correctional center in Lower Manhattan, Salem was awaiting charges of participating in a terrorism conspiracy. He's a founding member of Al-Qaeda, and he pleaded guilty to sharpening a comb and stabbing it into Pepe's eye. The stabbing was part of what prosecutors said was a larger plot to brutalize even more people, including Mr. Salim's lawyer, whom he wanted replaced with new counselors. Mr. Salim sharpened the comb using the underside of his concrete desk in his cell at the correctional center. He used the comb to attack Mr. Pepe in order to seize the keys to 10 South, a wing of the correctional center. Prosecutors have said he intended to free his co-defendants and take hostages. There was nobody watching out for Pepe. There wasn't nobody bird-dogging Pepe. He's cunning, he's devious, he's brutal, a prosecutor, Robert Bueller, told Judge Batts in seeking a life sentence. Officer Pepe was truly a nice man and a good person, and Salim picked him for that very reason. He lost his left eye because of the stabbing and some of the sight in his right eye. He bears a scar across the left side of his head above his ear. He has lost much of his movement in his right arm and leg, and 70% of his ability to speak. That could be your son that you got to take care of once this once these nuts turn all of the terrorists loose. And they're going to turn them loose. He was in court yesterday in a wheelchair to give what is referred to by the court system as a victim's impact statement. At times rambling and incomprehensible during the statement, Mr. Pepe raised his voice and banged his palm on the table from which he spoke. He repeatedly pointed to Mr. Salem, who held his head low. "Have you really ever looked?" he said, pointing to his left eye socket. "There's nothing in there." Mr. Pepe cannot read anymore, his sister Eileen Trotter said in a written statement. She gave to the court and the news media that she used the bright red images drawn on yellow paper to help Mr. Pepe remember what he wanted to say yesterday. Mr. Pepe described the torturous beating with punches and kicks after he had fallen to the ground, blinded by hot sauce. Mr. Salomon, his cellmate, Khalfan Khamis Mohammed, his co-defendant in the embassy bombings, squirted into his face. At one point, he said he thought, "Oh God, please kill me. What did I do?" Mr. Pepe asked Judge Batts, "If you can, make it never, never, never," a reference, it seemed, to when Mr. Salem should be released from prison. And then later, Mr. Salem Richard B. Lynn enraged Mr. Pepe when he suggested that there was no prolonged torture on the day of the stabbing. Mr. Lynn also argued against a prison sentence that would exceed the federal guidelines, adding that Mr. Salem, who pleaded guilty to conspiracy and attempted murder, could have killed Mr. Pepe but did not. What, are you kidding me? At this point, Mr. Pepe shouted no from the audience. The judge asked for silence, and someone in the courtroom gallery protested, "Let him speak." As Pepe began to speak, Judge Batts asked the Marshals Service to step in and remove Mr. Pepe from the courtroom. Now, this is the guy who should be governor of the state of New York. So, you know what? He's out on disability. He was making $47,000 a year, and he took care of his aging parents. How's that? And now he's on two-thirds of $47,000. He sits blind in a room. And here's an article from CNN. Prosecutors don't have video of jail stabbing. When Federal Corrections Officer Louis Pepe was stabbed in the eye inside the maximum security wing, of Manhattan's federal jail last November, the video cameras were on, as they are 24 hours a day, the monitor screens working. But when FBI agents investigated the attack, which allegedly came at the hands of terrorist conspirators, what could have been powerful evidence did not exist. There was no videotape showing the hallways and cells at the time of the attack. A federal jury heard on Thursday as the Pepe stabbing was recounted for the second day. Government prosecutors are offering the incident as proof of the future probable danger from Khalfan Khamis Mohammed, the convicted Tanzania embassy bomber who faces the death penalty. And Mohammed shared a jail cell at the time with his inmate, so the two guys were in the same cell. Boy, that really makes sense. How's that for security? I bet you Justin Volpe doesn't get to share a cell with anybody. How sad. Absolutely sad. The comb-turned weapon was purchased at the jail commissary. According to prosecution evidence, FBI Joel Felsch told the jury that agents found commissary receipts inside the inmate cell indicating that Salem had purchased two combs and a brush, and that Mohammed had purchased two brushes since the beginning of their incarceration. Oh, they must do a lot of hairdos. The government alleges Asylum also stabbed one of the officers responding to the Pepe attack with a brush sharpened into a shank. Agents found 6 handwritten scraps of paper inside the Mohammed Salim cell, but no agents could recall the notes' exact locations. For example, under which bed were they found, and the only fingerprints and palm prints detected on the notes belonged to Salim and FBI fingerprint analyst Charles Akubalis. And they went into their own routine, we're Muslims and we're being discriminated against. Yeah. Okay, so that's it. So you met Louis Pepe. How do you feel about him? Would you like to go visit him? Where is he today? Is he happier or sadder? How do you think he felt on 911? Do you think he tore his heart out on 911? Listening to those people screaming, whose screams were silenced in a minute and a half, and we got a president that just has decided he's going to turn them all loose. He's going to give them back to other countries. Who's he going to give them to? Yemen? They go home for lunch in Yemen. How can he give them to a country that tortures worse than we do? How can he say how can he do a Pontius Pilate? The man is a fool. He's a dupe. And he's done bad news today. And many a black soldier will die because of it. Along with their white brothers.